One of the questions that we often ask is, what superpower would you have? It's the kind of thing you ask in a youth group or in maybe a kind of icebreaker event at the start of a social. And whenever I get asked that question, I usually think of this. I would love to have the superpower of invisibility, to be able to vanish out of an awkward situation, to be able to surprise someone, to be able to move and listen to conversations, maybe to get a bit of insight into things that otherwise I might not. Although it does come with its issues and temptations, invisibility is so otherworldly that we think, wow, that might be quite incredible. What would yours be? What superpower might grab you and make you go, yes, I would love that, to be able to fly, to be able to kind of throw kind of flames of fire, might reveal something of your personality, whatever it might be. But often as Christians, I think we maybe veer towards that whole invisibility thing, because so often we want to escape an awkward situation. Maybe you're kind of talking about your faith to someone and suddenly you wish that that you could just be kind of go invisible and disappear because you've said something in a weird way that they've reacted to. Or maybe you just feel like so often it's easier to hide away, to retreat and not be seen, not be noticed. And lockdown's been a bit like that for us, hasn't it? It's been full of that kind of temptation just to retreat, to shut the doors, the windows and hide away. And one of the things that the church has been accused of in a way during this time is being saying that the church is closed, it's shut down, because during lockdown, that's what happened. Churches couldn't gather for worship services. And so when we come to this passage that was read a moment ago, it kind of shocks us, doesn't it? Listen to it again. From Matthew 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So quite differently to being a church that has this invisibility about it, that hides away, that closes, that shuts, that maybe wants to disappear when it's embarrassed or feels awkward or doesn't quite know how to engage in society, Jesus's words to his disciples are quite stark, quite contrasting. And instead, the church is called to be visible. We are called to be visible, to be noticed, to be like light shining in the environment that we're in. And so I want to actually say that unlike maybe some of the things that have been put in the media about the churches having to have closed, what we saw during lockdown was that church didn't close. In fact, it was possibly more visible. So one of the things that I have learned over lockdown is that the church should be visible. The church is made to be visible. And maybe we have been challenged as a church, as Barton Church, to carry on growing, to become more visible. That's God's plan. That's God's desire. Not for us to shrink away and hide and be invisible, but to be visible. And we actually saw that in lockdown because the church became more public. It engaged in helping those in the neighbourhood that people lived in. It responded in a way that many other sectors and charities couldn't. It had a ready-made workforce, a volunteer network that was looking to live out the faith in practical ways with food packages and care packages and helping those that were isolated and being the driver in society for how to support those in greatest need during lockdown. There have been great examples of that across the country. New networks established, Love Thy Neighbour or Good Neighbour Network. Practical demonstrations of the church loving those outside of the walls within community. But as well as the church being more public, the other thing that I think we saw is that church leaders spent more time together over Zoom and almost built a unity that maybe wasn't there before. So there was greater partnership, and I experienced that in Canterbury and Faversham. I know that nationally there were more kind of coordinated approaches and efforts to be present, to help the church be visible. But as well as the church being more public, maybe leaders engaging more in conversations and showing more unity, the other thing was the church had a greater reach. In fact, a global reach, because suddenly church went online. And as we saw church going online, we saw that this was a bit like the internet revolution of the late 90s, early noughties, or even like the printing press. A significant moment where suddenly God's word, the gospel, sermons, worship services, songs, could suddenly be broadcasted far beyond the church's normal reach. And in fact, to a global audience at a time when people were hungry to find out more about questions of faith and suffering and life and relevance, the church stepped up. The church wasn't closed, but in fact was more open than maybe it had have been otherwise. And I think that was significant. One of the things that I heard being said was that suddenly the church service, the online stream service, became like the Gideon Bible, which, you know, we put in hotels, in different places where people stay, give out at schools. Suddenly this whole church service was given out, broadly speaking, across the internet. And yeah, maybe it wouldn't have been watched immediately, but it's there, ready to be picked up, a bit like a Gideon's Bible in a hotel when someone is wondering what to do with their life, where to turn. YouTube, Zoom calls, whatever it might be, on websites, have suddenly opened up the opportunity. The church has become more visible. Now, maybe the initial impact of that during lockdown has eased since we've kind of beginning to return to this new normal. But either way, one of the lessons that we've learned is that the church should be visible, and in fact, in many ways, has stepped up and reached out in a greater way. And as I think a bit about this passage that has been read and about what we can learn from the past 6 months, this is a great lesson for us to hold on to and not allow to diminish, to shrink. We don't want to become invisible. We don't want to kind of lose the edge, the opportunity that we've had for the sake of familiarity. And so what churches and Christians have often struggled with is how to engage in culture. And often our way of being visible has been marked by two extremes. One, that we assimilate to culture, we become like it. We try and connect with people, we try and kind of relate to the world that the culture kind of that we're in. And but by doing that, we become very much like everyone else. We don't, we conform to the world, to culture, rather than kind of holding on to not conforming. We become quite similar to everybody. And churches have not been distinct. Christians have been no different than anyone else in lifestyle choices, in relationships, in use of money. The other extreme has been to not engage with culture in any form, but to reject culture, to not assimilate, instead to reject it. Culture is bad, is sinful. We're not of the world, therefore we'll be nothing like it. And we're God's holy people. And so churches and Christians have kind of drawn kind of clear boundaries and put up fences and said, no, this is how we live. But instead, what's happened is a disconnect between culture, a misunderstandings, a judging attitude, a hypocritical approach to engaging with culture. And that's not helped God's plan of his good news of the gospel to go out amongst the nations. So neither the assimilating or the kind of rejection of culture is the answer, but instead, what we find in the Bible, what we kind of believe as a church and try and do, is to engage with culture. Yes, to be countercultural, but to connect, to understand, to learn, to speak the good news of Jesus into culture in a way that relates and helps people understand who Jesus is. This is what Bill Edgar, who wrote Created and Creating, a Christian book, he's a Christian author, said, cultural engagement before the living God is, along with worship, the fundamental calling of the human race. We are made to worship God. We are made to know him and love him and live for him. But he says a part of that is also engaging, understanding, knowing our culture. Because as we do that, we can reveal the God that we've come to know and worship to others. It's how we do mission within the culture that we're in. It's very timely. And so as we come to think about how we can be visible, how we can carry on and growing and being a visible church, that matters. So with that kind of introduction, let's dive into this passage again. And I just want to draw out a few things, three things, really. The first, and each look at how we should be impacting others, the world, our culture, our communities, by being a visible church. And the first thing is that our identity is radically different to that which is around us. The passage in verse 14 of Matthew 5 says, "You are the light of the world." You are. It's about identity. It's about who we are. You, that term isn't about the singular individual disciple, individual Christian. It's plural. It's about the corporate responsibility for Christians, the gathered church. You and me, not just me, to be living out that identity of being light. Now, the kind of whole concept of this comes back from the Old Testament, where God's people were called to be, the Jewish people called to be light to the Gentiles, called to live with that identity, to be distinct, different, holy, set apart for God's purpose, not just so that they were okay, but to have an impact on those around them. And in the same way, now we find that as Jesus came in the Gospels, he talked about kind of seeing his kingdom coming, being people of the kingdom. And that was about being like light, different, distinct, able to live out the identity. And here, the disciples are given that same phrase, "You are the light of the world." The link from the Old Testament brought real through Jesus, who was the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in John chapter 8, verse 12. And so as he says that, he says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so our calling is to live out that identity. Us, we are the light of the world. And actually, in the book of Acts, that's carried on in the early church. This is what Paul and Barnabas were kind of proclaiming as they went off on their missionary journey. And in chapter 13 of Acts, verse 47, we read this: "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honoured the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. So we have this story of God's people being like light, shining. So what does that metaphor really mean? It means that the light is different to the darkness. It has an impact on the surroundings. So light removes darkness. It reveals. But it's more just than this physical picture. This is a spiritual image of understanding. Truth being revealed, people coming into an understanding of who God is and who they are, of positive change, being seen, receiving warmth, comfort, truth, and understanding. That's what the light represents. God himself revealing himself to people. And so our identity as church, to be visible church, is to be a part of that, to be like light in darkness, the world in darkness, culture in darkness, not knowing God, understanding God, relating to God. The church is to help people come into relationship with God, to be light. But more than that, it's not to be prejudiced, biased, but instead for all. And so the second thing is our identity is linked to our purpose. Our purpose is to be engaged in culture. And to be engaged in culture, we don't stand at a distance rejecting it. We don't overly assimilate and become like it. Instead, we are light, impacting it for good, having a positive impact. Just like salt in the metaphor before this passage was talking about salt impacting the kind of decaying meat. So that it is preserved, light, bringing something good, revealing truth, relationship. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Everyone in the house, light of the world, the Gentiles, the Jew and the Gentile, regardless of race and ethnicity, regardless of gender or age or ability or disability. God's people are to bring the light, the truth of who he is to others. How? Through their deeds, through their actions. And so our purpose is to be engaged in culture, to live out the gospel through actions, through life, through words, in a way that blesses and impacts others, that brings hope and comfort and healing, that brings justice and peace. They are the marks of the kingdom. And that's what it means to be the light of the world for all. To be church is not to be hidden, is not to be invisible, but to be visible. And that's the image here. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, in the middle of night, if you look up a hillside and you see the lights, it's not hidden, it's visible. You can see the town that you're driving towards, that you're heading towards. And in Jesus's day, without motorways with lights all the way along, if you're walking towards a town at night, you would have seen it and had hope and thought, that's where my respite is, that's where my comfort is. Or in a home, the second illustration, you don't light a lamp, an oil lamp in a home at night time when there's no electricity and light bulbs, and then put a bowl on top of it. You'd be pitched into darkness. Suddenly, you wouldn't see the people around you that you're trying to talk to, the meal and the food that you're trying to eat together. You wouldn't do that. It'd be absurd. It'd be pointless. The whole purpose of the lamp is to shine light so that everyone can see one another and relate and feel safe and secure and alive and real. And so the church is to be visible like a city on a hill. It's to be like a lamp in a home, giving light to everyone. And in the same way, we let our light shine before others, that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. So our identity is radically different. Our purpose is to shine light to all. Our purpose to be engaged in culture. And thirdly, it's for God's glory. It's not just so that we are noticed and seen to be another good charitable group, another support group, another kind of church building that does good things. The whole purpose of the church is to bring glory to God. That is its purpose. That's its reason. And what does that mean? It means helping others to know God and worship him for who he is, to receive his forgiveness through Jesus, to know peace and to praise him. And the way that happens is by the church being visible, knowing its identity, living out its purpose, and making a difference, having an impact, just like what happened during lockdown. The church stepped up. The church became more visible. And the challenge for us as we move forward is, are we being more visible? Are we carrying that on, or are we moving in the wrong direction? And I want to move on now to finish with a few practical steps how we can be a church that is visible. This is what Charles Spurgeon, a theologian that's very well known from the 1800s, said. God's intent is first to light you, then secondly, to put you in conspicuous position where people can see you. First to light you, then put you in a position where people can see you. Are we being seen as a church? Are you being seen as a Christian? Or are you like everyone else? Are we just another church that meets, that does its thing, that's not noticed, that if removed would not be missed? There's a challenge for me. There's a challenge for you, for us. Are we visible? Two ways that we can be visible. One, I think, is by being visible in being a loving community. Love is the way that we demonstrate, that we shine, that we show that we are different, that we've been saved and transformed and therefore live in a different way than the communities around us, by being a loving community. So if we've been transformed in our hearts, the impact is on our behaviour, on how we treat one another in our community. What are we known for? Are we known as a church for preaching? Are we known for our worship songs? Are we known for our projects, our activism? What if we were known for our love for one another? What if we were known for being an example of a loving community? Suddenly, we would be missed if we weren't present. That is a church worth joining. That is a community worth being a part of. And I wonder, how can we be a part of a community like that? Well, we can do it by being it, by being in a life group and forgiving the person that is sometimes quite hard to forgive, by being gracious, by being welcoming to the new member, by being a part of a ministry team or a project in our church, which means we care for others, which means we honour others before ourselves, which means we do rebuke and challenge when needed. We speak the truth, but in love, a loving, gracious community. That's something that is worth being a part of, which is worth being a part of because we grow together with one another and we're different and it's hard and it's not easy, but it's worth it. And that is a shining light in a world that needs shining lights. That is being visible by the way that we treat one another. That's how our light shines before others. That's how we are seen, our good deeds, and how God gets glorified. There's a verse in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34 to 35 that I'll read that's really significant. This is what Jesus says just before he goes to the cross and dies for his disciples whom he loves and for the world. He says this in John's Gospel, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's not about activism or just preaching or songs or kind of busyness and programs. It's about love for one another. That is the greatest evangelistic tool that we have. It's the greatest way that the world will see that God has done something in our hearts if we actually love one another. And yet it's hard, isn't it? It's not easy. And yet we're called to do it and to be it because God in Christ Jesus has done it for us. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's what it looks like to shine, to impact those around us, to be a community that is a compelling community, a community of love for one another. That is a light to the world. That is a city on a hill. That is a lamp that doesn't have a bowl over it, but gives light to everyone in the house. And then the second way is to be a church that is visible in love in everyday life. Not just when we gather as community in a life group over Zoom, or if we gather in person at a prayer meeting, or when we meet up as a six, or whatever format, but as we love in everyday life. That's about you and me living it out where we are. And that's a part of our vision as a church. I've got our vision booklet here. If you haven't read that, do read that. Our website's got some of the information about it. And in there, it talks about loving being a part of our everyday mission, how that brings glory to God. And about 5 years ago as a church, we went through a series that looked at practically how we can do that in our everyday life, our whole life discipleship. And the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity came up with these six M's that are really helpful for us. And I want to remind you of them today. And I've got this little kind of reminder bookmark type thing that I have pinned on my pin board, and it says, Father, help me to, and then it lists the six M's: model godly character, make good work, minister grace and truth, mold culture, be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and a messenger of the gospel. Six practical ways in life to be like a shining light, loving in everyday life, visible through modelling character. You can do that in the workplace. You can do that at home. You can do that at the school gates. Making good work, diligence in the workplace, keeping the COVID secure guidelines, practically working hard for your boss, submitting to his requests, ministering grace and love, trying to live in a compassionate, caring way for those in need in society, with your hands, caring, giving time to those that aren't given much time. Moulding culture, how we contribute to social media platforms, how we make a difference about the way our colleagues interact with one another, speaking against things that should be spoken against, and being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, loving by saying, no, that is wrong. People are equal. Let's treat them equally in whatever regard that is, by not forgetting the oppressed and poor in society. And also by being a messenger of the gospel, by speaking the good news in society. We need that, don't we? We need to speak the good news of Jesus. And so suddenly we visibly show our love for one another in community and in our everyday life, our everyday mission. Which of those six M's do you need to pray into and work on and grow in so that you can shine for God? I know that I need to work on probably all of them, and I need to think about which one, maybe one week at a time, I can work on at being more visibly for God, like a shining light. You might be feeling that's all very well, Oz, but I'm just feeling weak. I'm feeling like I'm not a bright light. In fact, my light's about to go out. I'm flickering. Then this verse I want to finish with might help you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Christ's power can rest on you. He can make you shine. He can make me shine. He can make us shine. Let's be a visible church. Let's be a light that extends out, because we are the light of the world. Let's live it for God's glory today and this week.